This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid-Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Woo! What a weekend of sports that's in the books. Going to turn the page. But, Jensen, we got big news from New Zealand and England and Spain and America. A wild weekend that we got, certainly in golf and on the pitch.
Yeah, terrible betting week for me. One of the worst of the year, but we're still in the black as far as our year to date. So that's good. Mama said there were going to be weeks like these. Hey, no big deal. We re-rack it. We get ready to go today. And the world's eyes yesterday on New York and New Jersey. What a finish to the World Cup we had indeed.
Yeah, pretty remarkable there. And again, if you had some of those tickets on Ryan Fox, we'll get to some of those. And certainly the Spain tickets. I'm sure there are a lot more people that had those than maybe Foxy over there at the last major of the year. But let's get to it. From what we saw yesterday, the heavyweight matchup that was Spain and Argentina. And that begins our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Trying to figure out maybe the football equivalent of what we saw between Spain and Argentina. It was wild. It was complete domination from Spain in regular time, yet nary a goal. And literally, Argentina didn't even have a shot on goal, and yet it goes to extra time, and that's when we get one goal, and that was the difference as Spain wins the World Cup 1-0. Jensen, it felt lopsided. Then Argentina has to play a man down. So they were really, really limited what they could do. But even when they were full strength, it felt like you could see which team was clearly the better.
Yeah, the NFL equivalent I've seen people put out there are the 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense. That's what we saw with Spain conceding just the one goal across the eight matches. Our friends over at the Action Network saying the previous record was 2 shared by, you guessed it, Spain, back when they won it in 2010, Italy in 2006, and France in 98. They have now set the new mark despite playing an extra time game in the first 48. And remember that match against Cape Verde, too, one of the great draws of the tournament. They went 12-1, 14-1 in some places for the 90-minute draw. And you thought, like, oh, gosh, are they going to really flop here in this tournament? Just didn't think that that was going to be, something that they would have any trouble with. Our friend Ben Fox over at Yahoo. Here you go, Dave. How about having the foreshadowing of La Roja? A better at Hard Rock placed a $100,000 wager on Spain to win at +550 on June 17th. Congratulations for the $550,000 payout on that winner. So what a finish it was. And Dave, we have now a one shining moment challenger. If you saw the montage that Fox ran after the festivities were done, it was pretty impressive to see what those people there for a good 3.5 minutes put together. But hey, what a bridge we had to now American football. Let's get the party started on the NFL side.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. And again, you know that I had Spain at 6-1 as well and got that when I was on vacation just a couple weeks ago. So it goes to show you could have got better odds in Spain actually as the tournament went on. And maybe it was because of that Cape Verde draw in regulation, at least early on. And people thought, well, Spain doesn't look like maybe the best team in this tournament. They turned out to be. The messy ovation at the end was spectacular. I did think that was really, really cool. And the respect shown to arguably the greatest to ever do it. And whether or not we ever see him again, that we don't know. But a pretty cool tribute that you saw right there in the United States for Argentina's finest. New Zealand, stand up. You've got another major champion, Ryan Fox. My goodness, a birdie at the last to become the champion golfer of the year. 10 under par. Now, he wasn't the only guy to get it to double digits, but he was the only guy to hold it at double digits, getting to 10 under par on that very last hole to beat Cameron Young, who had already completed his round 2 hours earlier after a dramatic run by Cam Young. It looked like an American was going to get it home. And in the end, no Euros, no Americans, but a New Zealander getting it done. Ryan Fox, a very popular guy, kind of a journeyman on tour, 39 years young, Jensen. I guess it's never too old to go win your first major.
No, we get another triple digit winner too. He was 150-1 before the tournament. And Dave, the crazier numbers are what transpired after that, because it was a first round to forget. If you go back and look at what Ryan Fox did there, he was upwards of 2,000-1 at one point. And I bring that up because Ben Fox, again, a great friend of the program, said that a bettor at DraftKings Sportsbook put a $55 wager on Ryan Fox at 2,000-1 during round one. That bettor is now $110,000 richer. You found him also, Dave, if you even want to go into round three, Ryan Fox, 750-1 live. And so just surreal to see the comeback. Also, gosh, another bridesmaid finish here for Sam Burns. Man alive, you know, he has been so good here in the last handful of majors, and you feel like he's knocking on the door. But Ryan Fox kind of looks like guys that we golf with on a weekend, Dave, not a PGA Tour, you know, guy who's good, now a major champion. It's always fun to look at some of these mechanics, but what have you. 22 seconds from the time that Sam Burns put in his final putt to where Ryan Fox stepped and said, "I got this, baby. Let's bring it home." Congratulations from down under, man. What a finish to the Open for sure.
He was already walking into his line before Sam had even started his putt. It's remarkable how fast Ryan Fox plays. We'll talk about that. It's become an issue. And I think certainly while Ryan Fox is the winner, the story there this week at the Open at Royal Berkshire was about the rules. And we'll get into some of that here, certainly today and as this week goes on, because that feels like the underlying takeaway from what we saw. All the majors wrapped up. Next year's the majors should be fantastic as well. Three of those four venues, some of the best that we'll get, but we're not going to get major championship golf again until April of next year. Bizarre that major season is already come and gone. I wonder if we're going to get the Red Sox in a playoff. And somebody here at the network came on this very show and said, you might want to think about the Red Sox for best record in this month. Yeah, that was me. And they've now won 13 straight games, Jensen Lewis. The Boston Red Sox absolutely on fire.
This is one of the bigger surprises in not only this stretch of time, but if you go back to June 17th, the Red Sox were 15 and a half games behind the Rays in first place in the American League East. They are now, with this win streak, just six games behind. And it was those Rays that they just swept in a four-game set. They played four games in 3 days. It was pretty dominant to start the second half. You have to also go back to 2016, the last time they had, I think, an 11 or 12-game win streak in a season. And that was when you had guys like Dustin Pedroia and David Ortiz and some of those names that we always remember of great Boston Red Sox teams of the past. Hey, the American League's wide open. I'm sure Will Hill, who's going to join us later, is going to have some thoughts on it. I know Gil Alexander was right with you on looking at the Red Sox for most wins in July. It's almost in a situation now where they could wrap it up as far as the wins are concerned in about a week's time because of the All-Star break. You know, that you lose the 4 days there to be able to get games in. So what a run. And the American League, it is there for the taking. So many teams that underperformed in the first half. This is why we played two halves in a great, great couple of weeks here for Boston.
The Yankees now only a game and a half behind Tampa Bay. And how about the Red Sox? Just six games back out of first place in the AL East. This is interesting to me because Shohei Ohtani shut down here. He's got some time he's going to step aside here with the knee injury. And I'm just looking at this, Jensen, and thinking this is a team that can – they've got so much depth. We know that with the Dodgers and the rotation. But how concerned would you be here when you hear this at this time of Shohei?
Well, it's significant to say the least. Again, he will miss his scheduled start Wednesday. That was supposed to be against the Phillies. But it's staying off the mound indefinitely while he deals with the irritation in his left knee. That according to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Now, that to me is a little bit more of the red flag than missing some starts here. It's we're not even on the mound, meaning that they're not only a little bit worried about you know, where that left leg, and it's the left knee, that's his land leg, Dave, when he's on the mound. That's where the problem for me is. It's, he's still going to DH. You know, he's still as important offensively as he has been on the mound. So the fact that they don't have a timeline for when he's going to get back out there, we're going to put a pin in this one and keep an eye on it for sure.
We know that OKC loves to trade away things to get picks. They've done it again. Lu Dort is on his way to the Atlanta Hawks for 3 second-round picks. This is kind of the way that they got to be good. I don't know if it's going to have the same impact here with the second-round picks, but OKC tinkering, Jensen, with what we feel like is a pretty darn good roster, but they're making moves to get some picks.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out. A little three-team deal here. And, you know, more importantly, the Thunder now have 7 second-round picks while also getting under the second apron and getting rid of $200 million just this offseason. So, again, getting the future assets, being able to create that cap space and also financially create a little breathing room. Sam Presti's been one of the best to do it. He continues as the general manager there in OKC to really show you they'll be nimble and they'll do what they have to do. So, hey, it's the two towers in the Western Conference right now between the Thunder and the Spurs. Let's see how this offseason continues to play out with another shrewd move from the Thunder for sure.
And I'm checking out our guys like Zach Cohen, hardwood handicappers. I wonder how this affects Atlanta, getting a guy that can play some lockdown defense there at the guard position in Lu Dort. Interesting what they're trying to do down there in the ATL. When we come back, let's talk more about the World Cup and not just what we saw yesterday, but also Saturday that affected the Golden Boot. That is for sure. But to the victor go the spoils. Let's talk Spain next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and the best bettors are already getting ahead of the game. Lock in that early bird pricing with our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month, and it will go up. So you're going to get instant access to our 2026 and 27 NFL betting guide, plus our upcoming college football betting guide, giving you everything you need to attack those futures win totals, conference races, and the upcoming season before kickoff. And the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. With full VSiN Pro access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Spain gets it done depending on your pricing. 6-1 is what I had. 550s were out there. Jensen, this was a popular choice before the tournament began. It almost felt like they got less popular after the beginning of the tournament, and then their dominance, I think, really kicked in against France. Took a while to get there with extra time against Argentina, but eventually they get it done 1-0.
Again, it's just going to be about the defense, right? And the historic nature of how dominant they were, and not only winning the World Cup in the fashion that they did, but also carrying some of the other individual awards. Rodri won the Golden Balls, the tournament's best player. Of course, for many of you Premier League fans, you see him with Manchester City. Unai Simón was unbelievable as their goalkeeper. At one point, you know, you forgot that he was back there because Spain, at least against Argentina, there were no shots. There's nothing in the attacking third. It was incredible that for most of that match, he just kind of sat there and was a spectator with the rest of us. Pau Cabarsí won the Best Young Player Award. And that's kind of a surprise because all we heard about was the 19-year-old phenom in Lamine Yamal. He may not have been finding the back of the net, but boy, it felt like he was very much involved in setting up his teammates for opportunities. You mentioned the Golden Boots. It was tied headed into the third place match, as well as looking at where we were from an odds standpoint. You thought it was going to be Kylian Mbappe for the top goal scorer, just knowing what the motivation could be between France and England. I don't know about you, pal. I did not expect my over 2.5, my over 3 on Saturday afternoon to get home within like the first 20 minutes of the match with England and France. 6-4, the English hold on. And I do mean hold on because it came to within one goal at one point, 4-3. But Mbappe does end up winning the Golden Boots after getting 10 goals and 4 assists. Messi, again, held out of the back of the net. And Mbappe was the favorite headed into the tournament, Dave. So, you know, one of those unique spots. And I think it was great for us, at least here at the network, where you have all those studs that were in it all the way to the end. We talked a lot about Friday. If you were looking to play this market, you might as well just play Mbappe to score a goal, including extra time. That ended up playing out really well. So congratulations to everyone who tailed on that. I'll ask you, bigger takeaway for you. Shocked at kind of what you saw on Saturday and maybe even to Sunday. Which result really kind of took you by surprise? Was it Saturday in the shootout, or was it just the absolute one-sided domination from what we saw yesterday in the final?
Well, thankfully and hopefully people were watching our program last week because we talked about that, boy, defense would be optional. I didn't think it'd be 6-4 optional. I mean, that's still a surprise, right? Like, we expected the over to hit 3.5, as you mentioned, Jensen, but it gets to 10 goals. You know, the soccer purists, that some that we've had right here on the network and some that certainly on social media, it was highly entertaining. Right. But it was it felt Americanized. It felt like that's what we want. We want up and down. We want scoring. It's why kind of the NBA has gotten to where they've gotten to. Sometimes you look at the NFL and all the rule changes. I've said this for decades. I don't know how you play defense anymore. Every rule change favors offense. Right. Because that's just what we want in the United States. We just want scoring and more scoring. And then you go to yesterday's match, which was the complete antithesis of Saturday. And you go, well, what's this? I liked what I saw yesterday. I liked the free-flowing nature of this thing. And, you know, we're not going to stop play as much. We're just going to let things play out. And your goaltender, good luck. So it was just so different and so contrasting to watch, quote-unquote, a meaningless game. And I don't know, did it really matter for England to win that? Maybe, maybe not. Will we think about that one 4 years from now? Probably not. Well, think about Spain and that defense wins championships mentality. And the way that they were able to just shut, like, did Messi play? Like, for the longest time, you're waiting for Messi and Messi and Messi. For those that are watching, you hear about this global superstar, and they just kept him in check. And Jensen, it did seem like, ironically, even a man down, when Spain finally got the tally, that's when you saw Argentina press. It's amazing how it took the goal disadvantage for Argentina to take more chances and even put themselves in harm's way in an offsides call, which would have made it 2-0 Spain on a breakout. But like, it was so wild to watch how things change once somebody finally broke through like Spain did.
Yeah, agreed. And now kind of looking forward, I think first of all, everyone in America take a bow, from the fans to the stadium workers to everyone that was involved. Heck, law enforcement for keeping you didn't hear a peep about any issues at any stadium with the entire influx of international fans. The only things you heard about were how much everyone loved coming to this country, the food, the hospitality, the air conditioning, the free refills. I mean, just incredible to see and kind of bask in the glow of why it is so great to be an American. So that was the great part about taking away everything was, Dave, this kind of flew by. I was telling someone the other day, and I think you would agree, you know, this is usually our lull in the sports calendar. Yes, we have baseball. Yeah. Yes, we have summer nights. You know, the WNBA is a fake league. But I think what you look at is this really not only captivated so much of the common fan, but, you know, really, I think, aroused a lot of people to say, okay, you know, like, this is a great little fun thing to have. Everyone's kind of part of it. you and I watch more soccer in 4 weeks than we probably have in our entire lifetimes. And no, I can't believe it. I was totaling it up yesterday. Made almost 2 units of profit for, like, I felt like I'm cramming for exams every day, like trying to get the best, angles for everybody. So the fact we came out ahead, I think I'll take that. I'm not going to frame anything on bets or anything like that, but I think a great little way to kind of shorten the summer to get us to real football, as we call it in this company and college and the NFL. So I enjoyed it. I know you did. And it's always great when you can cash some tickets along the way.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, sometimes the sports that you love, that you know, that you just, you know, you cram in and out for, you don't do as well on. This one, I'm right there with you. This is why, like Rob Moreno and I say, shout out to Rob on First Strike here, shameless plug, wherever you get your podcast, please take a listen on your time. I always say, we got a guy. We got somebody at VSiN for you. So if you want to get in football, in their football, in our football, we got a guy. And certainly they helped make this more profitable for yours truly. Very limited action on it, but did get home with Spain yesterday. And I got nervy because I did think, man, watching this thing play out, just as a sports fan in general, watching this thing play out, I went, oh, they're going to go to extra time. They're going to go to extra kicks. And when they go to penalty kicks, it's going to be Argentina that wins. It's going to be a terrible beat. Like, you felt like it was setting up for that. And I thought they did a good job in the broadcast of saying, boy, if you're Spain, you do not want to get to kicks, because you just had the feeling. Then you really got to face Messi. And you probably know he's not going to miss. You don't think so. And it just felt like, man, the better team might not win this thing in regulation and or extra time, even a man down. But it almost felt like poetic justice that Spain did get that goal to avoid that scenario. And so we felt like we wouldn't have that situation, that conversation of, should we play it out in totality instead of going to kicks like they used to do back in the old days with you know, the golden goal, which is long away, been taken away here for years gone by.
So if you're ready to lock in your future wagers for World Cup 2030, Dave, Spain installed as the short shot at plus 450, France 6-1, Portugal and England, the third betting choice, is tied at 9-1. The great United States, 80-1 to go across the pond. In 2030, I believe we are in Spain and Portugal and Uruguay, if I remember correctly. But this is going to be one of those things you kind of look back on and say, man, this was pretty cool. And it really shortened the summer. As I said, we're now here with 4 or 5 weeks before we get college football going, a couple of weeks after that, the NFL. So Portugal, Spain, Morocco, Uruguay, Argentina, Paraguay, that is, you're on deck. You're on the clock 4 years from now. We'll be excited when we get there for sure to go bet it again.
I know we like to tell people that social media is not real life. And I know there's going to be a lot of people out there that say United States made these great inroads this year. And we shortened the gap on some of those big time countries that you just mentioned. Not in the odds market. So you can still get good old United States of America at 80-1. It shows the respect. Maybe we're more respected, but at least not in the betting market right now, when we're still looked at as a pretty distant long shot coming up 4 years from now. But it was fun. We'll give him that. It definitely was fun. Was it fun at the Open Championship? Maybe not for Bryson DeChambeau. Maybe not for Rory McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler. It definitely was for Ryan Fox. We'll hear from your new Open Champion next on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Going to have David Bierman join us a little bit later on, Betting with Bierman. He's going to break down what we saw in the Open Championship over there at Royal Birkdale. And it was a lot. It was a lot to break down from the time we got off the air on Friday to where we sit today here. I don't think you and I ever mentioned the name Ryan Fox on Thursday or Friday. And really, at that point, there was no reason to. Got off to a terrible start, and then all of a sudden, everything changed in the weekend for Ryan Fox. Started off Saturday at even par, and at that point, he was 8 shots off the lead, and then all he did was go out there and shoot a little 62 on Saturday. We know that's a magical number. We thought Lucas Herbert on Friday on our show was going to be the first one ever in major championship golf, in the history of major championship golf, shoot a 61, and he bogeyed on 18, and that did not happen. Missed a short par putt on 18. So that's why he didn't get the 61. But it's Ryan Fox who shoots the 62 on Saturday. And that got him to 8-under par going into yesterday's round. But, Jensen, you know how hard it is. I talk about it all the time, certainly in the betting market, how hard it is to back up a great round with another great round. Now, it wasn't a great round, but it was good enough at 68 to get it done. And that 2-under par gets him to 10-under. Here's what's amazing about it, Jensen. And I know we're going to look back on this, and I went back and rewatched it yesterday afternoon. He was at 7-under par going to the 13th hole, and he would make another bogey along the way and yet still birdied four of the last five to get it to that number of 10. When you look back on it in that regard, Jensen, it's actually one of the better finishes that you're going to see to win a major championship.
So 62 for his third round, you know, gets him into contention. And I will reiterate to people, he was at 750-1 at one point during the third round, which, again, wrap your head around that, one of the low rounds of the tournament at 62, and finds his way. You know, Sam Burns, remember, had a 62 in round two to really escalate up. I know a lot of people here at the network really liked him after that. But then I was with you when I turned it on just to check and see where things were, and I saw Cameron Young just blitzed here. And so, okay, you know, you're in with that number. Long time to wait around, but you'd be happy to do it, just kind of knowing that the rest of the field was going to have to chase to get there. And, you know, Sammy Burns kind of floundering a little bit there in the back nine as well, kind of leaving the door open. Scotty was starting to – God, let me ask you that real quick. How many putts does Scotty Scheffler miss in this tournament that he makes with his eyes closed? This wouldn't have been even close the way it had gone, but that's neither here nor there. So, to your original idea there, I just still think it's remarkable that even after the third round that Ryan Fox had, not one person looking at him like, hey, you know what, maybe he's got a chance. Maybe he's got a chance to get it done here. That's kind of funny.
He is a tough guy. His dad, I believe his father or his grandfather, All Blacks there in New Zealand, the rugby team, the famous rugby team, a lineage of great athletes in that family. And now to bring a major championship back to New Zealand, this guy won a couple times on tour too. And I know he's older. He's getting close to 40 there. So we don't think of him in that way, but he's had a pretty darn good career. He had talked about possibly retiring, hanging up the clubs not that long ago. He's really glad he persevered, and I think everybody in the golfing world is too. One of the more likable guys that you're hearing on tour, Jensen, and Ryan Fox had this to say after winning the biggest and oldest trophy of all of them, the game of golf. We're going to hear from Ryan, I promise, in a little bit here. But again, that's the point, Jensen, is sometimes this game gives you unlikely champions. We understand if it's a Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, even a Bryson DeChambeau, we'll get some of that controversy here as the show goes. But again, Ryan Fox, an unlikely winner, but very happy to get his hands around that claret jug.
I know what to think at the moment. I've got a lot of people to thank. First of all, my family, my wife and kids are in Florida at the moment. I spoke to my kids last night and they said, bring back a trophy. I think this is a pretty cool one to bring back for them. My family back in New Zealand and all my supporters back there. I know it's been a long night for them, but I'm glad it was worthwhile. My team, you guys put in so much hard work, and I wouldn't be here without you guys. The RNA, to Royal Birkdale, to everyone who's made this event what it is, just an unbelievable week. The golf course was fantastic. The English weather was fantastic. You guys out there were fantastic. The support was amazing. And yeah, this is pretty cool. I'm sorry if I've forgotten anyone, but thank you very much.
Short and sweet from Ryan Fox. He actually, when he went back out there for that presentation, Jensen, he had to pour out red wine he had already put in the claret jug. So he had already drank out of, and I know that Lord's, when we talk about Lord Stanley's Cup, and the Claret Jug. These are two of the older trophies in all of sports. These are two kind of the famed ones out there. People love to drink. And I saw some people saying that know Ryan Fox very well. That Claret Jug's going to be in for it's going to be a fun year for the Claret Jug before he has to give this back a year from now here before the next playing of it.
Potentially something on the video side we'll be able to show you later in the program, because the Claret Jug already making its way out of Europe. how shall we say it? Ryan Fox, man of the people. And Dave, you know how I have my airport and airplane etiquette. This is a pretty neat video if we're able to get it for people to see watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, Rogers Sportsnet, north of the border. Ryan Fox making sure that that Claret Jug was not in the checked baggage, to say the least. Mm. So excited to show people what we mean by that upcoming later on.
You know, I did cash some tickets on Spain, but I had a really nice parlay with Spain at 6-1 and Rory for a top 10 at Royal Birkdale. And I love that wager. I was more worried about Spain than I was Rory. Very disappointing weekend. He had comments about Bryson DeChambeau. We'll get to all that as the week goes here, Jensen, which was really kind of took center stage. But you heard Ryan Fox say how much he enjoyed Royal Birkdale, how much he enjoyed the golf course. Rory McIlroy, maybe not as keen on the course as we heard from the champion Ryan Fox.
I feel with a lot of the changes that they made, the greens that are raised up and a lot of the fall-offs and stuff, it didn't play like a traditional links course. I didn't feel like you could run the ball up to a lot of greens. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff where you still had to fly the ball on. And I'm not saying that that was the reason that I didn't play well this week. I'm just, it didn't feel like it was sort of your typical links test, or certainly wasn't the links test that Birkdale presented in 2017.
There's a lot to unpack there. One, it's not the reason why I played poorly, but is always an interesting way to phrase things. Not the links test that Royal Birkdale presented 9 years ago when Jordan Spieth won. So wasn't Rory over there for the last month pretty much skipping tournaments on the PGA Tour to get ready for this? I don't know why that would have been a surprise to Rory.
Yeah, I agree. We're getting a lot of whiners in the PGA Tour now. And we're placing blame elsewhere. The unruly patrons from the live betting. And then we also get, a little glimpse into, where guys are just kind of looking at course conditions. And I mean, this is the Open. It's a test. And clearly, Rory McIlroy failed the test. 72. So he's over par in round one. Gets back to a nice 67 in round two. One under 69 in round three, and then a very pedestrian one over for the final round. Sorry, dude. Look in the mirror. I mean, quit whining. And speaking of whining, how about the temper tantrums that this guy has thrown too? Rules for thee, not for me, apparently, with Rory McIlroy and some of the other bigger names.
It's bizarre, because what you're getting at is, and we're going to get to this tomorrow as well in greater detail with Bryson DeChambeau, which really de facto became the story of the tournament, and it shouldn't. That's why we're trying to keep it on Ryan Fox and the winner today. And if you had a Ryan Fox ticket, we'd love to see it, because you cashed big time. But it became about everything else. Those type of comments that we heard from Rory and certainly about Bryson. So many golfers asked about Bryson and the two-shot ruling. You and I talked about it with Joaquin Neiman in regards to the U.S. Open. A big ticket that you and I had on Joaquin Neiman to get a top five, and an arbitrary ruling came out, and that cost us a ticket. It affects betting markets. What we're seeing now with what the PGA Tour, what the PGA of America, and certainly now with the RNA, the Royal and Ancient, are doing now over there as the purveyors and kind of the guardians of golf. So very interesting discussions coming out of this, and we will have more of those. But for today, it is Ryan Fox the winner. And man, if you had that ticket, again, three guys shot 62. None of them were named Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, or even Bryson DeChambeau. They were Lucas Herbert, they were Sam Burns, and they were Ryan Fox. And one of those guys went on to win the tournament, and that's Ryan Fox. History was made, tied for the lowest round ever in championship golf, and now a first-time major champion. Let's talk about what we saw over the weekend in Major League Baseball and how it might affect the second half. And certainly those Red Sox have been heard from loud and clear. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest free of charge. One winner, we're going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Millions. Now, both winners will receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. And to that end, Jensen, we're going to have a little viewer mail later on in the program. And maybe one lucky fan coming down here to Kentucky might get a tour right here of this studio. So we don't know which studio you're going to get a tour of. But, Jensen, we're very accommodating to our fan base if you want to check it out here and or in Circa Las Vegas.
Yeah, I will sweeten the pot. I will personally make the trip down to the Mint. Oh. If you end up wanting to come down there and that is your destination of choice, let me know. We got three nonstop flights a day from Cleveland and Nashville. So if we are ultimately the studio that's or the show that's chosen, I will personally make that trip down there, and we will have a blast for sure.
I mean, if you can see behind me, if you're watching on YouTube TV, I mean, our studio is absolutely gorgeous here at the Mint Gaming Hall. Yes, that is the same Circa Big Board. Everything that you see in Las Vegas, you're going to see right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. It is spectacular what Derek has done right here in our neck of the woods. Let's get to some Major League Baseball. And always interesting when you come out of the All-Star break here, Jensen, get into that second half of the season. We're going to get oh so close now, just a couple weeks away from the trade deadline. And, you know, we talk about a lot how important getting off on the good foot would be in that second half to maybe make some of those determinations. And then that's going to affect the betting market, certainly, as to which teams we think might be buyers and which teams might be sellers. I don't think a month ago we would have ever thought that the Red Sox would be in a position to buy – and add, but Jensen, with this winning streak, I know that you and I have rethought what Boston is. Where are you in the Sox? Is this a facade, or is there real staying power after what we've seen here this month?
This is surreal, buddy. Again, for those just joining us, it's 13 wins in a row now. They sweep the weekend series, playing four games in 3 days to start the second half. At one point, they were 15 and a half games back in the middle of June. They begin play today just six games back in the division in the AL East. And Dave, if the playoffs started today, they would be your final wild card team in the American League. That's the wild nature of how ridiculous this run has been. Again, that 13-game win streak tied for the second longest in franchise history. Again, with the Rays dropping and the Yankees splitting a doubleheader yesterday against the Dodgers, they end up finding themselves just a handful of games back in the American League East, too. Just a game and a half, the Yankees are behind the Rays. All that being said, do we buy where the Red Sox are? Well,
oh boy.
We had said it. Can you look at a team that for much of the season had the inconsistency on the offense? They have not had Garrett Crochet here for the last month and change. They lost Ranger Suarez to a strained groin there the week before the All-Star break. And here they are just doing what they're doing. And it's not like outlandish, you know, the entire lineup is absolutely rolling. I mean, Wilson Contreras was the All-Star. He's been their best offensive player all year. Willier Abreu is the one that has really caught fire here in the last week. But outside of that, you know, Caleb Durbin, pretty solid. Masataka Yoshida, solid. Carlos Tobias, solid. It has been their rotation. Sonny Gray, Peyton Tolley, Jake Bennett, back at their end of their bullpen with Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Whitlock, Justin Slayton. That's been the real engine that has driven this win streak. And, you know, they're in the midst of their longest homestand of the year, Dave, to start the second half of the season. They'll entertain the Baltimore Orioles today, beginning later on tonight. And then they have the Toronto Blue Jays, who are kind of floundering in last place. So,
right.
I mean, there's nothing that tells me they're going to have a lot of resistance, at least on paper. Every reason to think they can make it 14 in a row again here tonight.
You know what's crazy too, Jensen, is as we like to say, yesterday's price is not today's price. You wake up Monday morning, check the pricing in the AL East. The Yankees are now back to even money to win the division. They're a game and a half back. behind the Rays after the Rays get swept in this four-gamer, as you mentioned, in Beantown. And right now you can get plus $1.30 on the Rays if you have nothing already. 9-1, by the way, in the Sox, only six games back here. I think we thought this was going to be a two-horse race for the division. Is that 9-1 playable? Or if you missed the boat in the Red Sox, that number now is not, it might not be enticing at this juncture.
Okay, I would forego the 9-1 to win the division, and I would get a share of the Red Sox at 10-1 to win the American League. I think you have a better chance if they find their way in with that starting pitching to be able to monetize that and or at least have an opportunity to decide if you want to. Think of where we are right now in just the American League pennant chase alone. Dave, the Yankees still the short shot at plus 230. Mariners, got it. If they got to start putting it together here, and it's just kind of that coiled serpent, if you will, waiting to strike. So they're a little south of 5-1. Rays are plus 550 at, you know, are they leaking some oil? This has not been a great stretch for them, that's for sure. The Rangers are the shocking team at plus 750. And then the Guardians and the Red Sox, and Guardians just lost a series to the Pirates over the weekend at home at 10-1. If you're asking me to hitch a wagon to a double-digit, you know, future price right now for the American League pennant, I don't want to get caught up in the prisoner of the moment analysis of it, but you cannot, you know, disregard what has happened, and they're not even at full strength. So here's where I would say, if you're betting the 10-1 on the Red Sox in the American League, you are bullish on Garrett Crochet getting back from the shoulder inflammation. You're bullish on Ranger Suarez avoiding a long-term stint with the strained groin. You're thinking that Sonny Gray is going to continue what has been an all-star campaign, although you know, one of the snubs that you'll look at for sure. And Peyton Tolley and Jake Bennett have been like the number 12 and number 13 best starting pitcher the last couple of weeks in all of baseball. So the pitching is there. And Dave, what do we know you need to get to the playoffs?
Yep.
You need great pitching. Do they have enough offense? They're 27th in home runs. Does this run now force Craig Breslow in that front office to go shopping for some offensive reinforcement? I would say the players, and this is what you asked them to do, give them a good problem to solve, and that's currently where you are if you're a Boston Red Sox right now.
Interesting series over the weekend with the Yankees and the Dodgers in the boogie down. Rain interrupted in this one. Dodgers won on Friday, and then you get the Saturday postponement, split the doubleheader yesterday. We saw the Shohei Ohtani news, which is not good news for the Dodgers. Again, I don't know that we're going to see these two teams like we did a couple years ago in the World Series, but Jensen, any big takeaways after we saw from two very high-profile teams this weekend?
Yeah, it feels like the June swoon has now leaked halfway through the month of July for the Yankees, and yet, as you talked about in the futures market, still an even money play to win the American League. If you kind of dig a little bit deeper into where the Yankees are, obviously the offense and the news that we got about Aaron Judge, where that it's still not healthy enough as far as the recovery of the ribcage injury to, you know, really increase some upper body activities. And that's a problem, Dave, because the offense, everybody stinks right now. And that is going to be a problem when you look at the pitching staffs that they're up against. Here are the next three series for the Yankees. Okay, you've got the Pirates coming in town to start tonight. You get Ashcraft, you get Bubba Chandler, who have been on really good roles, and then Mitch Keller in the season or the series finale. Then you got to go to Philadelphia, and the projected starters, it looks like they're going to get Jesus Luzardo and Christopher Sanchez to bookend that series. Then you got to go to the Windy City and take on the White Sox, who are still in first place. They're in trouble, man. I mean, this offense has not shown any indication of coming out of this slump, and it's not just a couple of weeks now, Dave. I'll even throw the Tampa Bay series out. This has been a sustained problem, and I think you got to take that into account, knowing that Aaron Judge and the cavalry is not coming anytime soon here in the next handful of weeks.
White Sox aren't going away. They win 2 out of 3, but the Marlins, boy, and I had them yesterday too, Jensen, walk-off scenario against Milwaukee. That was a tough one. They get swept away very quickly. Maybe a surprise team in the American League that is not going away. I hope the surprise team in the National League isn't starting to.
No, I think the Marlins are okay. Again, really well-pitched game by Yuri Perez. Deserved to win yesterday. William Contreras, this is why, you know, he's an all-star and was just such a force to be reckoned with, not only last year, but continuing that ascent. I think we're okay as far as where this division is. The Marlins, because you have that kind of pitching, you're going to be okay. Six games back in the division, but right now, kind of looking at where the wild card is, they're going to be right in the fight here. Again, you have a three-way tie, basically, between the Cardinals, the Marlins, and the Pirates for the final wild card spot, with the Diamondbacks just a half game behind beginning play today.
Speaking of comebacks, how about the Diamondbacks down 7-0 yesterday? St. Louis came back and won that game 8-7. Insane. When we come back next hour, we're going to break down our American football, talk about those Baltimore Ravens, and is Bryson DeChambeau a cheater? We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.